T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
TJ Zuppi's going, what the hell are these guys talking about? SI Now.
That's pretty much what it is all the time with you guys.
What's up, TJ?
Covering the Tribe for SI Now. How you doing, TJ?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Valentine's Day, so I feel like I should express my love for my intact knees and meniscuses and any other tendons that are down there. You know, it's just, I want to be thankful for them and maintain a good relationship.
Yes, and you should, and
Chico wasn't giving you any of that. That was a fine joke, TJ. Don't feel bad about that.
You were wondering what we were talking. I don't know what that just was. I know that Mike Clevenger right now, we think he's still under the knife. I don't know, but in surgery, bottom line is, TJ, I said this earlier in the show, it just feels like Groundhog Day in terms of last year. Position player Frankie Lindor, but a star nonetheless, and now Mike Clevenger.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I will paint a more pleasant picture for you than last year. Are you ready?
Please do. Thank you.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Last year, you lost Frankie Lindor, and your offense already had some major question marks. True?
Yes.
We all can agree.
I can agree on that.
This year, those question marks are probably all still there, at least to some level. The pitching side of things, you feel like you've got a pretty good factory going of starting pitching. So if you're looking at the drop-off from Frankie Lindor to Max Moroff, or Mike Clevenger to Zach Plesac, and maybe Jeffrey Rodriguez and Tristan McKenzie, I feel a little bit better about that second scenario. So there you go. There's some positive.
Let me just say that I never dreamed. I got to give you some credit there after I didn't like your intro. I never dreamed we'd get a Max Moroff mention, so the fact that you squeeze that in is big.
Well, very anybody big. That listens to the Selvia's Godcast knows we have a one Max Moroff mention limit per show that we try to get in there somewhere.
Yeah, that should be the limit. TJ, all right, here's my problem with this, and I'll let you go into the roster construction and some of the starting rotation as far as the 1-5, but this feels like the Indians constructed a roster as if they were living in a perfect world, as if like a utopia of sorts. If everything broke the right way, maybe we got an 86, 87, 88 win team. But the injuries, if they're already starting to pile up, I worry about where this season can go. And I worry about what happens when you spend the offseason hoping to avoid this exact scenario. And we haven't even seen a pitch yet. And here it comes.
Yeah, you would think you would have learned some lessons from last year. It's different. And, of course, being a bit facetious in how we started things, but it is a little bit different when you're talking about the pitching, because I do feel better about them being able to withstand the loss of any pitcher there, more so than I would offensively. But you're really only one star injury away from this being a reality on this roster because of the way that it is constructed. And that the good thing is you do have the stars there when they're healthy, and Lindor and Ramirez. I mean, Santana hit like a star last year. Mm-hmm. On the pitching side, just run through the number of guys that have elevated their games, and Clevenger pitching like a top 10 talent pitching-wise, and Bieber being an all-star game MVP and really elevating himself into the upper echelon. And you've got a good, at least what you feel like is a pretty good set of depth behind them. So it's one thing to... for any team to lose a star, but the way that the Indians are built, you're right. They rely heavily on those guys to be able to play like stars. And I feel like we've said it. I've said it a lot going into last year that the Indians' success was going to hinge on those star-level talents playing like stars. Well, unfortunately, you didn't have Lindor for a little bit at the beginning of the season, and then Jose Ramirez didn't play anything like Jose Ramirez for the first half of the year. So that didn't hold true this year. It's going to have to be the same situation, and at this point you're hoping that this Clevenger thing is more towards the more positive side as opposed to that worst-case Armageddon scenario.
TJ Zuppi, Indians reporter for SI Now, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. TJ, the other news, it got overshadowed, obviously, with the unfortunate injury today to Mike Clevenger. They finally made it official. There was tons of rumors about Domingo Santana. I think it says, obviously it says a lot about Domingo Santana, but I think it also says a lot about Franmil Reyes, who I know you and others reported that Tribe Fest, he looked like he lost a lot of weight, that, you know, Santana, we know, is not a great defensive fielder, kind of along the lines of Reyes, but they feel like Reyes can play in right field on a fairly regular basis defensively if they're bringing in Domingo Santana. Would that be accurate?
Well, that's the corner that they're painting themselves into, for sure. That one of those guys is now going to have to play some corner outfield, at least some this year. And they're going to give Reyes every opportunity to go earn that. And to his credit, he did put in the work this offseason to make that at least a legitimate shot that doesn't feel quite as ridiculous as maybe going into the offseason you thought it could have been. But I think also at this point is they look at the offense. They realize, okay, well, we don't have a lot of money that we're able to spend here. So how do we bring somebody in here that is going to be at least a league average, if not a little bit better than league average bat? And we're not going to care about the defensive positioning because all we're worrying about right now is generating offense. We need somebody that can do that for not a high cost. And if you're looking around, Domingo Santana might be the best of that because even I wrote about, if you're looking at just offensive production, projection-wise, looking at what could happen in 2020, let's say Yasiel Puig, who a lot of people would like back in Cleveland, and I think still would fit this roster tremendously. I don't think that bringing Santana in here should ever stop them from going out and chasing Yasiel Puig, but that's a different situation, different story. If you compare the two, the total offensive production is not that different. I would say that it's probably a coin flip which guy ends up being better, and I think they'll probably end up somewhere similar as far as total offensive production goes. So if that's the case, you end up saving some money here. I can get on board with that, but I would have liked to have seen the savings applied to the rest of the roster. Go out and upgrade whatever you think you still need, and I can still look at that outfield. I can still look at the fact that I think against right-handed pitching, they still have a hole right there in the middle of their lineup. But as far as what he can bring to the table compared to some of the other guys that were out there, I think he's a solid average, if not a little bit better than above-average offensive bat. And for the state of the Indians right now, they probably can't complain or get too picky and choosy when it comes to guys that can do that.
TJ, which part of the Indians do you believe is the strength? And you can break that up into whatever quadrant you want. But I tend to think bullpen when we go to this discussion. But I want to hear what you think as far as for what you believe the Indians do better than a large majority of the other teams.
Bullpen's kind of a fun place because there's a lot of volatility there. There's a lot of volatility in any relief core, but particularly this one because there's so much youth there. So it's like the ceiling is gigantic, but the floor is just way down below you. You're looking at all the, there's so much variance there where maybe Brad Hand is as good as he was in the first half, and maybe James Karinchak comes up here and keeps striking everybody out with a elite rise fastball and a release point that a lot of people aren't used to and a breaking ball that's down in the dirt, and you got Emmanuel Clase, who Tito says is throwing 100 mile per hour bowling balls or whatever,
which I still don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I don't know.
I mean, between those three, you could have the best back end in baseball, perhaps. I mean, as far as total talent and stuff and ways that could come together, that's not so crazy to think that those guys could be in the upper echelon. But Karinchak hasn't been tested. Clase barely has any big league experience under his belt. Brad Hand did have some hiccups in the second half and probably, you could say, stumbles more so than the hiccups. So there's some volatility there, and there's a lot of unknown any given year between knowing how a reliever is going to react because there's small sample sizes and all sorts of different things that weigh on a reliever, how often they pitch and whether or not that weighs on you over the length of your career. But I feel like there's enough arms back there that, yeah, it could very well become the strength of this team. And if nothing else, I think there's some fun arms out there. Last year is a lot of kind of junk getting thrown up at the plate. Tyler Clifford somehow getting guys out with a fastball that couldn't break a plane of glass. This year, you're not going to have that issue as far as Karinchak and Clase go. I think they're going to be electric, and there might be some outings where you're like, ugh, that didn't look so pretty. But I think you're also going to have a number of at-bats are going to end up probably in that pitching ninja gif that you're going to want to watch over and over and probably make this probably the most fun part of this roster, I would say.
TJ, I know this is going to be a developing story, into spring training and closer to the regular season, but I'm going to present it to you anyway. We've heard a lot about the lineup and whether Francisco Lindor, would he continue to lead off? Would they drop him in the order? Would they put Santana there? You've got Hernandez there. Do you think we'll see Frankie drop in the order in order to take advantage of that power and driving in more runs, or do you think Tito just wants to stay with him as his leadoff guy.
I would not be shocked if he just stayed at leadoff. And if he truly wants to do that, then I'm fine with that. I'm always more so thinking, I mean, you can break this up in a lot of different ways, and you can think about, you want your best hitter second, and you want maybe your best three hitters hitting somewhere 1, 2, and 4, and maybe your fifth best hitter goes, I mean, and there's a lot of data to back that up, but I think you can simplify it and just, who do you want to get to the plate the most often? And I would think that it's probably some combination of Lindor, Santana, and Jose Ramirez. So if you can get those three somewhere within your top four and maximize their trips to the plate, I'm fine with that. You know, we can make arguments about whether or not he's best suited to be the leadoff guy, because you do have Santana who gets on base a little bit more often. And I don't know if Santana of 2020 is going to be the same hitter he was in 2019, but at least you know he's going to generate walks and get on base. And if Lindor is hitting for more power, maybe he wants some more guys on base. But I can also say that just getting him to the plate more often gives him more opportunities to hit one out of the ballpark. But if he truly likes that spot, which is what he has told us for the past several years, and he seems to embrace it, then let your star hit leadoff, and I'm fine with that. I don't think that's something you really truly need to overthink unless you're doing something silly like putting one of your best hitters down in like the 6, 7, or 8 hole. Then we're going to have some issues.
DJ, you spent a lot of time around Trevor Bauer. Is it surprising to you that out of all the players in baseball, I feel like, and I'm not going out on a limb and saying this, I feel like he genuinely can be the face of baseball. When big news happens, people go to Trevor Bauer and his comments, and he generates interest in a way that other players just don't. How off base am I that a one-time All-Star could actually find himself at the top of players for what fans go to? Because he'll speak and he'll not be scared of what the repercussions from Rob Manfred would be.
Yeah, I mean, you're never quite sure what's going to come out of his mouth when he talks, which is what's great and always appreciated about his time here in Cleveland. I always got people that asked me, was he a pain in the ass to deal with? And no, he never was a pain in the ass. Was he a little surly sometimes in some post-game press conferences, or did he make you come with some actual legitimate questions instead of lobbying the typical, hey, what happened in the third inning? Yeah, but, I mean, you should be on your game as a reporter, and I'm not going to blame that on the player if I come in there with weak questions. I love the fact that he always gave you something to fill up your notebook, and there was anytime he talked, he basically gave you a headline. Whether or not he is best suited for that, and I think he had his own questions about that, because let's face it, if you go back through his past, there are some things that maybe you wouldn't want to have if he's the face of the game. You know, just looking at him, the video last year that made the rounds and just throwing a ball over center field and he's out there supposed to get taken out of the game. He is a guy that is throughout his career has won some people over, and I think that's a little surprising because for so long I kind of thought of him as like the ink blot test, you know, the Rorschach test, where you're looking at him and you just kind of whatever you want to see in him, whether you really liked him, you really liked his personality, you just hated him, whatever he did just kind of reinforced that. But it seems like he's brought some more people over to his side just with his willingness to talk and his willingness to help younger players along. It's something that we've seen him really gravitate towards in this part of his career. So he's not a perfect vessel, if you will, but maybe that's fine. Maybe that's okay. You don't always need the squeaky clean guy. It's just somebody that generates interest and gets more eyeballs in the game, and I think transcends the sport just because of how intriguing he can be.
Well, I was kind of rude to TJ in the intro there, but I will say I'll kiss up a little bit here and say that I'm a big fan of the Selby is Godcast, and I have it downloaded that you pair up with Zach Meisel. I don't know if that's going to do enough to make things right. I was kind of rude there, but, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and I don't have a fiance or a Valentine.
I will be your Valentine. That's okay.
Let's not say things you can't take back.
Get over on in here and give me a hug. We're all good. All squared away.
Thanks, TJ. Keep up the good work, buddy. Appreciate it.
Right. See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.